We must understand that God's word has so many points and so many things that are help to us. Mm-hmm. Turn to James, if you will, while I talk. Amen. Second chapter of James. And we began to think about just how good the Lord has been and is. And in being a minister of the gospel, we find that out of all of these books in the Bible, there's some good food in the Bible. And sometimes we can eat of the word of God and we can digest it and everything's all right. And sometimes we try to digest it and we just don't want it to go down because it convicts us. It makes us see ourselves where we are. And sometimes we don't want to see exactly where we are. Every message is not a hallelujah message. Every message is not a fussing message. Every message is a message from God to help us along the way, to give us the guidelines as to how God would have us to behave ourselves, not only in the house of God. We sometimes know how to act in God's house. And notice I did say sometimes. But the word of God should be something that not only in the house of God, but in our own house and in other people's houses. And as we walk along in the community, we need to carry ourselves as men and women of God. James 2, beginning at verse 5. The Bible reads, "Hearken, my brethren, my beloved brethren, have not God chosen the poor of this world rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom which he hath promised to them that love him? But ye have despised the poor. Do not rich men oppress you and draw you before the judgment seats? Do not they blaspheme that worthy name by the which ye are called? If ye fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, ye do well. But if ye have respect to persons, ye commit sin, and are convinced of the law as transgressors. For whosoever shall keep the whole law, and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all. But if ye have respect to persons, ye commit sin, and are convinced of the law as transgressors. For whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all." Exodus 20. I'm going to pick up at 18. Reverend Jesus stopped at verse 17. 18 through 20 reads, "And the people saw the thundering and the lightning and the noise of the trumpet and the mountain smoking. And when the people saw it, they removed and stood afar off. And they said unto Moses, Speak thou with us, and we will hear. And let not God speak with us, lest we die. And Moses said unto the people, Fear not, for God is come to prove you, and that his fear may be before your faces, that ye sin not." Supporting scripture, Romans 3 and 23. Very familiar passage, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. For whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all." We ought to use the thought of our subject this morning. We like to speak from the thought, one sin is just as bad as the others. One sin is just as bad as the others. is every day. Every day. Even on Sunday, the devil gets busy. Get to messing with your mind, messing with your clothes. You can't find this, you can't find that. Watch out for the tricks of the devil. And don't let the devil keep you pondering too long. You just don't have to wear that. Leave that alone and grab something else and throw it on your back and say, I'm going on anyhow. Anybody come anyhow? We got to stop worrying about what you got on your back. Begin to wonder, what do you have down on the inside? Glory, glory, glory. We waste more of God's time worrying about things that are insignificant than about worrying about what we can do to be a better person. And if we would learn to personalize it and stop worrying so much about the other folk, if you do not have your house in order, you're not going to get it in order worrying about my house. Because that time you wasting on me and my house, you need to be working on your own soul salvation. Anybody in here know what I'm talking about? All of us have had some good days and some bad days. Every one of us have did some right and we've done some wrong. And if we be real to the fact of Christ, the only reason we are here now is because of the grace of God. Not because of what you don't do anymore. Oh, glory. Don't be like I was last week. Last week I had a dance in my feet and I sat down on it. And I didn't even get to get my dance. You got to learn how to get it when it comes through. I stood right up before you and said, you know, I done got older now. And I tried to compose myself. And I didn't want to run out of air. But don't God give me my air? See, when I said that last week, everybody agreed. Amen. It's good to have a little common sense. But now after the fact, after I didn't get my blessing back on, it makes me understand that you got to do what you can while you can. Brahman, I'm on you now. Because there's going to come a time in your life when you really can't do like you used to do. You're willing to run, but you can't run no more. Willing to throw up holy hand, but your hand, you got arthritis in your arm that you can't quite get them up like you used to. But don't worry about that. Don't worry about that as long as the real desire is in your heart. God knows your condition. God knows when you can and when you can't. But now those of you that got reasonable portion of health and strength, those of you that got up this morning still got good legs, still got good arms, and don't have to worry about walking with a cane. You better do what you can while you can. Hallelujah, Jesus. You might be up today. Before nightfall, you could be flat on your back. And in actuality, never ever get up and walk again. It can happen just that quick. As we look around in this sanctuary this morning, we are gazing upon brothers and sisters in Christ. I thank God for my brothers and my sisters. I thank God for giving us an extended family. All of us in here, we are family. We may not have the same names. We may not have been raised in the same area. Some of us may not have even been raised in the same manner, but we are yet still brothers and sisters in Christ. And I wonder this morning, do we realize what a blessing it is just to be able to assemble ourselves in praise and worship to glorify God just one more time? It is a true fact that we are here today and gone sometimes even today. The reality of where we are now lets us know that now is a good time to serve God. All we have is really right now that we can depend on. Because in 10 minutes from now, something could come upon me and I'm not be able to say a mumbling word, not be able to hold up my hand, because in my brain, I'm thinking I want to raise my hand and my hand goes up. But there are going to come some times in our lives when we're going to have a thought process, but that's as far as it's going to go. We have elders. We have elders that have been around for a long time. And once they get into 85, 90, and 95, and we go and we share and we talk with them, and they still talk with good sense and they still remember things. And we will find ourselves walking away, says they still got a strong mind. Our bodies begin to fall apart, and sometimes it's vice versa. Sometimes you lose your mind before you lose your body. So you cannot judge nobody about the condition that they're in. Too many times we find fault in everybody and everything but ourselves. God allows us this opportunity to magnify him and to lift up his holy name. And we got to understand that it's all because of him. He is the one that made it possible. I thank God for the song Miss Mary sings sometimes, saying that everything that's good that has happened to me, God did it. I know that there are times when times get hard and you begin to wonder how are you going to make it? There are times when we get discouraged because it seems like the more we try to do the right thing, everything seemingly gets in our way. Sometimes you got a mindset to live for God and to glorify him. But as you go along the way, stumbling blocks seem to always get in your path. It is amazing how once you get the mindset that I want to change the way that I look at things, I want to change the way that I do things. And as you begin to make those changes in your life, the enemy, he recognizes that you are not the same that you used to be. You are not as easily provoked. You are not easily used like you used to be. Instead of just jumping out and acting like a fool, now you take time and you think about it and you pray about it and you even put things back. You say, no, I can't do that no more. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Have anybody ever been delivered from something? Have anybody ever been struggling with something and you know that you can't do it all by yourself? And every now and then you look for a little help from somebody. My brother helped me. My brother helped me. But brother can't help me. Some of us, we are still caught up into, if I can just get to mom. Mama can make everything all right. But there are some things that mama can't help you with. Some of us got good fathers and a father that'll stand there through thick and thin, and you know that you can depend on him. You know that he got your back, but there are some things that daddy just cannot do. Anybody know what I'm talking about? But we serve a supreme being that can do anything but fail. Everything good that has happened to me, God did it. And if God did it, then I ought to have a mind to tell God thank you. We ought to be aware of the fact that God is blessing us despite ourselves. And I wonder, out of all that the Lord has done for you, anybody in here just want to tell God thank you? I wonder, you're aware of the fact that it's not an accident that you were here this morning. You had a mindset to come to God's house. And the reason you are here is because there's something God has in store for you. Yesterday has already come and gone. We cannot redo yesterday. But David says, this is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. I'm glad of the mere fact that God loves us so much that he looked beyond our faults. See, we got some faults. We got some things that are not quite in and parallel to the will and the ways of God. I believe this morning that God has a delivering spirit in this place. Somebody that has been struggling and going through, what I need to tell you is that if you want to be delivered, let it go and let God have his way. Every now and then we go through things in life and we begin to wonder how we're going to make it. Sometimes we get discouraged and we get in despair, and there are times that you'll cry. There are times that you'll fuss and you'll cuss. Anybody in here been cussing? Oh, come on now. Come on now. Lisa, let me know you're listening this morning. And I thank God that you got sense enough and not to cuss in God's house. But I know some of you been cussing. But I want to know, did cussing help the matter? I had to get enough Jesus in me to find out that I can tell somebody out without cussing them out. Some of us have not been delivered. That little thing in your mouth gets you in more trouble than you can get yourself out of. That is the reality of where we are. And when we go through these things in life, you know, sometimes we think that, well, why did the preacher say that? We'll call this the truth. And if there's anybody in here can make me or convince me that I'm telling a lie, I got time after church for you to convince me of that fact. Because we got to understand that people are people everywhere you go. You can church hop if you want to. But let me tell you something. When you get over there at the other church, you're going to have some folk over there looking at you just like we've been looking at you around here. You have some folk over there that cussing and fussing just like we got some cussers in here. You have some folk over there that want everything to go right, and we're going to have some folk over there that want everything to fall apart. Everywhere you go, you got the same thing when you're dealing with the people of God. You have not arrived just because you say you're saved and sanctified. Sanctify, sanctify, set yourself apart for the service of God. Not set yourself apart because you're better than somebody else. Not set yourself apart because they don't do things over there like we do them over here. Something wrong with their religion. Somebody ought to help me this morning. See, I found out that I didn't have to fall out in the floor to get my salvation. But if you had to fall out if you have to. Don't let nobody make you feel bad because you had to fall out. It takes different stuff for different folk. What it took for me to get across, it might take a little bit more for you to get across. Then it might not take as much. I'm going to help somebody in here this morning. Sometimes when you're going through, and we're all going through right now, some of us wear it better than others. You know how it is? Some folk, you can look at them, you know you got hell in your life. Then you got some folk, you can look at them, you can't tell what's going on in their life. They may be down and out, they may be broke as a skunk, but they got a smile on their face. They got their head still up high. Don't let your burdens get you down. Hold up your head, oh ye gates. Somebody ought to get it on. I thank you. Because as bad as it is for me, I realize that it's worse for somebody else. Look at your neighbor and tell him it's going to be all right. Encourage their heart. Encourage your neighbor. Glory, glory. As I studied our Sunday school lesson, talked about being impartial disciples, how we should follow the example of Jesus Christ and not have respect of persons, not only in the body of Christ, but towards all of God's people. We find this to be a test of our brotherly love. Sometimes we take it lightly, but we just better be careful how we treat one another. The Bible teaches us in Paul's writing in Hebrews 13, 1 and 2, let brotherly love continue. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. You don't never know who you're talking to. Sometimes strangers may come into the sheepfold, and they may not look like you want them to look on the outside. But be careful how you entertain them. They just might be an angel unaware. In other words, you may not be aware of the fact that this person, this woman, this man, this boy, this girl that you've been running down, that's an angel of God. See, God might send somebody in the house just to test where our love is. And first of all, you ushers better be on post. Not on post to show somebody a seat, but on post to show love and hospitality. On post to let them know that you are welcome into this house. For this is a house of worship. This is a house of praise. And you might not be dressed like our folk are dressed, but that's all right. Come on in the house anyhow. You cannot judge the book by the cover. Remember our golden rule in Matthew 7 and 12. Said, therefore, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do unto you, do ye even also unto them. For this is the law and the prophets. But then, you know, there are some of us, we got to remember Jesus gave us a new commandment. The new commandment in John 13 and 34, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you. That ye love one another. Well, I got a question for you. Where did all the love go? We don't act like we love one another. We don't love one another like Jesus loved. Because Jesus loved without condition. Jesus loved without problems in our lives. Jesus loved us despite ourselves. And we got to learn how to love one another. We got to understand we are bound by the word of God to love one another, to treat one another right, to do the thing that God would have us to do. We got to make the right choice. And God is the right choice. Sometimes we find ourselves pointing the finger. Sometimes we find ourselves looking out of the corner of our eye. And it's so easy to cause blame or to put the blame on somebody else. Sometimes we say that I'm where I am because mom and them didn't do this for me, or daddy was gone and daddy didn't do that. But what have you done for yourself? You got to stop finding excuses. We have folks sometimes that all we like to say, if it wasn't for the white man, I'd be here. Let me tell you something. Don't let no white man, black man, Indian man, chief, or anybody get between you and your God. God has a way of opening up doors. And it doesn't matter what nationality you might be. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Sin has no respect of persons. Every one of us in here have done something wrong. Oh, glory. Just before I get here, let me tell you about sin. Sin is a transgression, an overstepping of the law. Sin is the divine boundary between good and evil. Sin is also defined as missing the mark. Failure to meet God's divine standard. Anybody in here know anything about sin? Anybody in here do everything just right? Everybody dot every I and cross every T? Hello, hello, am I in here all by myself? I see faces, but I don't hear nothing. My ears are still working. I hadn't gone deaf quite yet. Every now and then I need to hear a witness that knows something about the goodness of the Lord. You see, we got to understand that sin originated with Satan, entered the world through Adam, was and is universal to all mankind. Doesn't make no difference where you come from. The Bible says, in sin, my mother conceived me.
Hallelujah, Jesus. But we're going to act like we got away from sin. We got to act like we don't know anything about sin. Well, what brings about sin? Sin is breaking up the law of God. Let me slow down 1 second. Let's get the law. The Bible says, and God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Not Cain talking. This has come from Exodus 20. And God is telling us the same thing today. That those of you that love your automobile and your job and your clothes and your carpet and your china better than you love Jesus, those are your gods this morning. And I want to see whether them dishes going to carry you to heaven or not. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness or anything that is in heaven above or that is in the earth beneath and that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them nor serve them. For the Lord said that I am a jealous God, visiting iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. The Bible says thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Cusses, I'm back at you. You know, some of us, we say we don't cuss as nasty as some folk. Some folk cuss so bad you don't hear nothing come out of their mouth. And then they got them folk that use the GD. Oh, don't act like you don't know. And then we'll say, oh, that's sure enough cussing there. Well, now, the Bible says that thou shalt not take the name of the Lord our God in vain. For the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. So in other words, God is going to hold you accountable. If you don't respect your elders and say anything in the front of them, they may not be able to chastise you, but God's going to hold you accountable. If you got a nasty mouth in the front of your children, babies know how to cuss because they heard somebody cuss. You got to clean up your mouth when you're talking around these babies. Then when they get somewhere and they say something out of their mouth that embarrasses you, you will act like, oh, I ain't never heard him say that. You are lying, the truth ain't in you. When you heard it at home, you thought it was cute. You know how we do sometimes? They're so little and they say these little things and that little word coming out of that little body and we think it's cute. It's not cute. The laws of God. This ain't coming from me. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Oh, Lord, I better not mess with that one. We do everything but the right thing on God's day. God said we don't supposed to work, and some of us use that to our advantage. Problem is, he said 6 days you work, and then on that day you rest. We got it all twisted. We want to just rest all 7 days and be blessed anyhow. Anybody know anybody like that? They ain't looking for nobody's job. Tight, but it's right. The Bible said the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work. Thou nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. Don't make your guests work when they come. In 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth and the sea and that that is in it and rested on the seventh day. Where the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother. That thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God given thee. That's a law we ought to be able to keep this morning. We ought to know how to honor our fathers and our mothers. They might have done some things that you might not like in your life. But the Bible say, honor them if you want long days upon the earth. Thou should not kill. Thou should not commit adultery. Thou should not steal. Thou should not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Now, when God gave these commandments and the Lord God spoke, and the effect of God's voice made the people be afraid and tremble. For the Bible saying all the people saw the thundering and the lightning and the noise of the trumpet and the mountain smoking. And when the people saw it, they removed and stood afar off. And they said unto Moses, speak thou with us, and we will hear, but let not God speak with us, lest we die. In other words, they were saying, I can't stand the power that comes from the word of God. You see, sometimes we like to say, oh, he's just a man, he's just a woman, he can't tell me what to do. Well, that's why God gave Moses the ability and the authority to give them the laws of God. And then they realized that God has so much power. I don't want to hear the voice of the Lord anymore. Moses asked God, can you talk to us? Moses said unto the people, fear not. For God has come to prove you, that his fear may be for your faces, that you sin not. So in other words, we got to understand that the laws were given so that we wouldn't have a mind to sin. We got to understand that God wants us to stop putting the blame on somebody else. We got to understand that in the word of God, as Paul said, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We got to know that we can't do it all by ourselves. We got to trust the power of the Almighty God. We got to know that God will do just what he said that he'd do. When we began to think about where we are with God, we always like to find fault in the other person. But I find here in the word of God this morning that we can't have respect of persons. We can't justify our own way of living. Sometimes we like to see the fault of somebody else, but we feel like it's all right for us to do certain things. But I stopped to tell somebody this morning that you can't do things any kind of way. I stopped to let somebody know that one sin is just as bad as all of the others. You might not do this, that, or the other. But if any one of those 10 commandments, if you fall short of one of them, you are just as guilty as you fall short of all of them. The Bible says, for whoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of them all. That's why I say one sin is just as bad as all of the others. You may look down the list of things that you don't do anymore, but I start to let you know that God is watching everything that we do. We got to stop being partial to one another. We got to stop treating some folk one way and some folk another way. The Bible says that God himself gave us a test. But there were two men that came into the church house. One had on fine clothes, looking good from head to toe, had a diamond ring on his hand, and that made the people feel like he had it going on. Another man came in and he was dirty and he was ragged, and they told him, we don't have a seat for you. Stand over here, sit down below my footstool. But I stopped by to tell somebody that we can't have respect of persons. We can't treat one person better than we treat somebody else. You got to learn how to treat everybody just alike. If you are a child of the Almighty God, one sin is just as bad as the other. Some of us like to talk about what we don't do anymore. But I stopped to tell you right now, you might not drink liquor this morning, but if you got lying in your mouth, you're just as bad as the liquor drinker. There are some of us that like to run down those that are caught up into all kinds of drugs. And somebody said, I just can't stand a crackhead. Well, I come to tell you this morning, that crackhead is your brother. That crackhead is your sister. And they're just one step away from getting where you are right now. All they got to do is open up their heart, open up their mind, and say, I serve the Lord thy God. You see, it does not matter what you do. If you do this, that, or the other. The Bible says all unrighteousness is sin. If you just judgmental, Always pointing the finger. Always pulling apart. Always talking about folk. Always stabbing folk in the back. Then you just as bad as anybody else. You got to learn this morning that your sin, there's no such thing as a little sin and a big sin. Some of us think that I just do a little bit of stuff. But that little bit of stuff that you're doing is going to carry you right on to hell. There's some folk that look down on folk. Say, oh, we're better than they are. Because we come to church every Sunday. We pay our tithes in the offering. We sing on the heavenly choir. We're doing this and that in the church. But as soon as we get home, we get on the telephone. And instead of spreading the gossip, we spread gossip. We don't know nothing about the gospel. We talk about the gossip. I don't want to hear what he say or she say. But what did God say? God said everything that have breath ought to praise the Lord thy God. I sought to tell somebody that you better stop your sinning ways. It's time. It's time to do what God would have us to do. One sin is just as bad as the other. You might be a talker. You might be a walker. You might be a peeping Tom. That's just as bad as one that'll take out a gun and shoot his brother or his sister. I stop to tell somebody, you are no better than nobody else. You might have on a white robe, might be preaching the gospel, but I'm just as guilty as anybody else. I sin and fallen short of the glory of the Almighty God. But I serve a God. If I became a believer in the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and because I am a believer, he washed away all of my sins. Because I am a believer, the things I used to do, I'm not going to be held in account of. That person I used to be is behind me now. Because I believe that Jesus came into the world, hung him on Calvary. He went down in the grave. But on the third day, he got up out the grave with all power in his hand. I'm in his hand. You're in his hand. All of God's people are in God's hand. And as long as you stay in God's hand, God is your doctor this morning. God is your deliverer this morning. God is your mind regulator. God is your heart transformer. God is, God is, God is everything to me this morning. One sin is just as bad as the other. So stop looking down your nose and look up to the hills from where your strength comes from, knowing that it's by the grace of God that you're saved this morning. Not any merits of your own. You can make a long list of your do's and your don'ts, but the bottom line is that we are saved by the grace of God. Because of his grace, then I have no respect of persons. But you know, we take it so lightly because it's very easy to be judgmental in our minds. Hallelujah, Jesus. What we see with our eyes will make our mind begin to make a decision or an opinion. And as we formulate that opinion in our minds, if it's negative, if it's not in the will of God, you sin it. You may not realize it. But when you see that individual, that because they don't look like you think they ought to look. Hallelujah, Jesus. See, I don't know about you, but many days, I catch myself. I say, Lord, forgive me for what I just thought. Hallelujah. I got problems with being opinionated about what I see. But I thank God for being reminded that it's not about me. it's not my place to decide who can or cannot come. That belongs to God. It's not my place to tell Tony what he can or cannot wear. But now it is my place, him being my brother and my friend, because he has to understand, because of our friendship, if I'm going to say something, it's going to be for your good. And the bottom line, it's just my opinion. But now that does not make it to where it's being judgmental if you say it in the right order and with the right spirit. You see, I am one that I believe in being decent and in order. I come under a pastor that had everything always together. So I try to maintain that status, because he said, God don't like no slow Joes, and God don't like nobody shabby. So if you are associated with me closely and we're going places, I don't want to look good and you looking any kind of way. So I'm going to tell you, brother, you're going to have to pick it up a little bit if you're going to hang out with me. Sometimes, and I'm just using myself as an example, but some of you are just the same way. First of all, I don't want them to think no more of me than they think of him. But what people, and that's what Sunday school lesson was all about, what people tend to do is what you see on the outside. That's how you form your opinion of what you think that person is all about. So that's why it's very, very important that you carry yourself in a Christian manner, because when you make that first impression, you might not be able to go back and fix it. So do it right anyhow. As I close this message today, I close it with this thought: let God be the judge.